Last week I asked you to dream about a better future and the role you could play in building it. And I realized just how lucky we are, because amidst all his lessons and teachings, Jesus today gives us these two fundamental core principles: love God and love your neighbor. And on these two commandments, he says, hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus is saying, staying focused on these two core principles, and all the other laws become clearer to you, and they make a whole much more sense. And that these two core principles underpin why the prophets, you know, why they keep decrying injustice and calling people back into a closer relationship with God. Love of God and love of neighbor. And I also believe that loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself are really the core principles that underpin the better world that we should be dreaming of. And I believe it's been at the heart of everything I've talked about over the past few weeks. You know, 4 weeks ago, I talked about the need to move forward with our vision regardless of the pandemic and all the difficulties it brings. And I want to do that because I said I wanted Jesus Christ to transform our city and our world. And so we have to move forward. Then I asked you to think about a world where God was an integral part of your work life. You know, if you brought him into every part of your life, into your work life included. And then I asked you, you know, to ask the question, what is right with the world? And I want you to be able to answer, I am. I'm what's right with the world. And the following week, I asked you to envision what your life could look like if instead of focusing on success, you sought significance. I talked about being active participants in God's work of creation, not simply passive consumers of it. And I said that God has given you a unique ability, a unique voice, a place, a role, and a valuable contribution to make to our world. And then last week, I talked about some tools for finding that role and that place and that contribution that you can make. I talked about finding your passion, because it's probably also the way that God is calling you to participate in that ongoing work of creation. All of it, I believe, stems from those two commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Why would anyone want to make a better world if they didn't actually love their neighbor and want what's best for them? But, you know, non-believers, they can dream about a better world too. And that's why the love of God has to come first. It's the reason why we love our neighbors, and it's the love of God that will set the course for what kind of better world we want to build. A world of peace and justice and mercy, where the love of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, the merciful judge of the world, where he is allowed to transform every heart. Let me tell you a story. It's the story of a young man from the Loire Valley in France. His name was Jérôme Leroyer de la Dauversière. You know, a Frenchman in the 1600s with last name like that, with lots of le's and de's and las in it. You know, it means he comes from nobility and he comes from money. Jerome has all three in his last name. Jerome had a devotion to God and to the Virgin Mary, and he wanted to serve the poor. But he also had this dream of founding a city that would be built on this idea of loving God and loving your neighbor, especially in the poor. A city that would be the shining light for the new world and would be strategically poised to be able to proclaim that love of God and love of neighbor to the entire continent. So he founded what was called the Société Notre-Dame de Montréal. And then he starts to build, get people around him. He starts fundraising with a woman named Agnès de Bouillon. And he attracts people like Paul Chamonix de Maisonneuve and Jeanne Mance and Marguerite Bourgeois. And he recruits them in order to achieve his vision of founding this city to be called Ville-Marie. And today, if you go to the Plateau or to Old Montreal and you look at the street and the park names, it's all those names. De Bouillon, Jeanne Mance, de Maisonneuve and Place Marguerite Bourgeois and de la Dauversière. These names are all over the place. These are the people who founded our city. Montreal wasn't created for commerce. It wasn't created for military purposes. It didn't start off as an agricultural settlement, a mining town, or a port. It was founded on a vision to bring the love of God and love of neighbor to fruition. It was founded on a dream of being a shining light to the new world. And it was symbolized by the cross on Mount Royal. A cross that was first put there in 1643 by de Maisonneuve. It was put there for everyone to see. Our city has a story that is not unlike the one Paul describes in the second reading when he's writing to the Thessalonians. He says that because the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place where your faith has become known. The dream of Montreal is that the word of the Lord should be sent forth to all the new world and to every place. And the story of Montreal is not over. It's not a fait accompli yet. And so the question is, what role do we play in the story of our city? What role does our parish play, and what role do you have in this ongoing history of building a city where love of God and love of neighbor shine forth for everyone to see? You know, I spoke about these streets and being named after all these people. If you're from around here, you know where de Maisonneuve Street ends. It ends a block and a half from here, and it becomes West Broadway. It ends right here, where we are right now. Our parish has a role to play in our city's ongoing story. And I believe God is calling us to take up that role. That's why my vision for our parish is that we help transform our city into that bright, shining light for all to see. We help it become the place where the cross is not some symbol of the past, but a bright beacon of Christ's love for you, for me, and for all of our neighbors. And my dream for St. Ignatius of Loyola is a day in the very near future where we form so many disciples, so many missionary disciples, that we can't contain the impulse to bring the love of God and love of neighbor to our whole city and beyond. You know, last week I talked about my desire to build a community where we can truly look at each other as brothers and sisters. Well, if we push that family analogy further, I realize that brothers and sisters mature. They mature together, and eventually the siblings, all those brothers and sisters, they leave the house where they grew up, and they join with another to form a new household. They remain brothers and sisters forever. But many are called to leave their home and form a new house. And that's why I envision a day when St. Ignatius will be sending out parishioners every year to join with another priest and build a wonderful, joyful, spiritual home in another parish in our city. I dream of a day where active, involved members of the parish have discerned with us that God is calling them to actually leave St. Ignatius. You know, these are people who have led alpha tables and been part of connect groups and served in all sorts of ministries, both in our church and in outreach to our community. And I think it's kind of crazy. You know, why would somebody whose whole life has been transformed here at our parish at St. Ignatius, what could possibly possess them to want to get up and leave all the wonderful friends they've made here, the community, the culture and the worship? And why would they want to leave? And why would I want to give up some of our most engaged parishioners, some of my dearest friends, some of my sisters and brothers? Grateful generosity. Grateful generosity to me is the natural response to God for all the incredible blessings that He has so generously poured out upon us over the years. It's that and the intense burning desire to want to share the abundance of those gifts with others in some other part of our city. Truly, this to me is a picture of a loving God, of loving God with everything we've got, with our mind, heart, body, soul. And it is a picture of what loving our neighbor means too. So yes, I dream of sending people capable of coming around another priest, a priest who we've helped train and grow as a collaborative leader. And as all together, they go to other parts of our city to lead and renew another parish. I dream of so much fruit coming from our parish that we have to send it out, that it's just bursting forth from us. I want our whole congregation gathered together again someday soon. My goodness, how much I wish that were the case, that we were all able to gather together again. And I want us all to pray, despite our fears, despite our tears, for these people, these amazing people, our brothers and sisters, our friends and mentors, as we send them off to reclaim the story of Montreal. I imagine so much fruit coming from our parish that we can't contain it all, that it spills all over. I envision so much fruit that those who will always stay in our parish are commissioned as well to use the fruits that they see in their life to transform our city. I want each and every one of us to bring the love of God to our neighbors because we love our neighbors. I want our fruit to be seen in the work in our community, and I want it to be in your place of work too, in schools and soccer fields and social media and construction sites and office buildings and heck, even in Zoom meetings. I want all that fruit to be seen. I want you to grow in patience and kindness in serving others. I want your goodness and love to be noticed by everyone around you. I want your gentleness and self-control to be apparent when people oppose you, when they ridicule you. And I want your faithful love of God and neighbor to be a hallmark of your life. I want it so noticeable and apparent that you are always ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. My answer for the hope that I have, my answer to why I believe we can achieve this dream is you. I give thanks to God for you. I give thanks to God for the fruit that I see in your life, the fruit that comes into my life because most of it comes from you. And I dream of a day where there is too much fruit to contain it all, that we have to send it out. There's a prayer to the Holy Spirit that I think is really apropos. It says, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth." I know that the Holy Spirit has begun to renew our parish. I know that we can all play our part in renewing our city, that we can all play our part in the ongoing history of a city built to be the shining light of God's love for every person, regardless of who they are, regardless of their background and their color, of what they believe or what they might have done. I know that we can be part of the story of transforming our city by transforming parishes to transform lives. And I so want you to be part of it as well. I pray for the Holy Spirit to give us the strength and courage to be that bright shining light and to work towards achieving the vision of bursting forth with fruit-filled missionary disciples. I know we can begin to plant that fruit in other parishes in the next few years, and I know we can bring whatever fruit we are producing right now into every part of our life. We can bring that fruit to our city. I pray that the Holy Spirit not only renews the face of our city, that he renews the face of the earth. I pray that he begins now and that he begins right here at St. Ignatius.